1 Corinthians 15. We'll read the one verse and then we'll turn to the next passage of scripture after we pray. How about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, the very end of the chapter. Very common verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the baseline, amen? And we can have victory over anything through Him. But because of that, verse 58 is a very important verse for us as saved believers. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That word steadfast is a good word. It means in your place, all right? But not just in your place without moving, right? And the instead, or the word stead, would be a place of service, a place of being. But he says, be steadfast, what? Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray, and we'll get to the title and the other passage in just a minute. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach behind the pulpit tonight. Thank you for all the messages we have heard over the past few weeks. Our hearts have been stirred, Lord, not just the messages from your word, but the results of those messages have stirred our hearts. We've seen many souls come to know you as Savior over these past few weeks. That still resounds in our hearts, Lord. It just encourages us as Christians to see that. But Lord, may we not let these things slide, let them slip. Help us to hold on to this and to abound. Lord, continue to multiply and continue to serve you faithfully. Thank you for a church of servants. And tonight, Lord, I pray that we'd be reminded of our sacred responsibility as Christians. Lord, help me as I preach. Help me to say what I ought to and nothing that I shouldn't. Be with my voice and help my words to be correct. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Go to the book of Exodus, if you will, real quick. Exodus chapter 25. So we're going to come back. We'll end again with this verse. It's a good verse to remember that word steadfast. But if we go to the book of Exodus in chapter 25, we will visit a few other things here. When I teach my children something, it helps if I already have it together, right? Okay? If I tell my kids to do something, I should probably, first of all, know how to do it. All right, be able to do it myself. In some ways, I can't tell them to behave if I'm not behaving, right? I can't tell them to go soul winning if I'm not going soul winning. And that works for anything in life, okay? But we as human beings and parents often, I tell my kids, don't be selfish. And guess what? Am I selfish still? Of course I am, all right? Are you ever that way? Of course we are. Now, just because you falter or fail in something does not mean you can't take a position of God's word on it and know what's right to do. And so as parents, if anything, that's actually your job. That's our job, is to lead our homes and to help our children to grow up maybe sometimes better than we were taught, all right? And maybe we didn't get, disciplined in an area. And so we desire, if anything, most of the time we look at our kids and we see some faults here and there, and we really double down on those, don't we? Because I see me there, and I don't want that kid turning out like I know I am, so I want to help him as much as I can. And you say, well, what is that about? The other day I was looking at the boys out there, and they had built, one of those forts, right? And it was one of those lean-to forts, right, where you just stick the sticks up there and lay the stuff on top. And boy, I tell you what, just from the outside appearance, that fort looked like if a strong wind blew it, it would fall right over, all right? And I think, the Morrises, the girls were doing that too. I mean, everybody, the little neighbor kids there, everybody was getting in on the fort building stuff. And it's fun to see because kids are just out there using their imaginations and, they're out there building this fort and a couple weeks later, half of it's all over the ground, right? And so then they got to pick it up and they go prop it up again, but it would help if I would go out there and, sometimes you go out there and try to help your sons and say, all right, if you stick this one here and stick this one here, maybe wind this around there, and then you got a solid thing. And sometimes they want to listen to that, and sometimes they don't. Like, Dad, I know how to do it. Brother Chad preached in chapel. I can do it better, all right, type of thing. And everybody who thinks they can do it better finds out pretty quickly that maybe they should have listened, all right? And today we're not going to quite go to that direction, but I guess from a point of view of, at times, we want to preach something that we're good at, But sometimes we have to instruct on something that maybe the Lord has convicted us about. All right. And by the way, that's most of the Bible, okay? Because we are all human. And so sometimes if you're reading through the Bible and you might say, well, that's a new Christian thing. No, 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 no. Anything that is good for a new Christian is good for a veteran Christian. And so sometimes we hear stuff and we think, well, you know, they've got that. That's good for those people who just got saved last week. No, it's good for me. It's good for me now. And this is more of a, I guess this applies to everybody all at once. It applies to the new Christian, but it also applies to the veteran Christian. And you'll see that really quickly, I think, here. Look at Exodus 25. And this is kind of one of those interesting sections of the Bible where you can get overwhelmed with the number of things mentioned. There's a lot of details here, and we're not going to cover all of them. But I want to point out a couple to you. All right, but if you go down there in verse 25, let's skip down through the beginning. Of course, this is Moses. Let's read verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. They're about ready to give so that the tabernacle can be what? Built. All right, there is no tabernacle. I want you to give money, and we want to build the tabernacle. Then in verse 10, he begins to describe all the stuff that's in the tabernacle. And God lays out very specific things for his church. And I'm not just talking about the church now. I'm talking about here in the Word of God. It's the tabernacle. He has a very specific way he wants things done. And if you read it, I mean, he tells them exactly what type of wood to use. All right, you're not allowed to use pine. You're not allowed to use Douglas fir. All right, you got to use this type of wood. All right, and he tells them everything. And so let's look at it real quick, and I'll point to you some things, and we'll go on from there. Look at verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. He tells them how much it's supposed to look like. All right, look at verse 12. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings shall be in the other side of it. And thou shalt make, this is the word we're pulling out here, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. So are these staves supposed to be there? Yes. Do they have a specific design? Of course. But you know what he says? Don't move them after you put them there. And so these staves, think about it, had to be made pretty well. Because he says, after you put them there, I don't want you ever taking them out. All right, now you say, well, Brother Young, they carried that thing through, you remember the story of the ark? Okay, the ark goes with them, all right? Goes all over the place with them, through the rivers and all, you know, over the river and through the woods, okay? It goes everywhere with them. And so he says, and you think about it, you say, well, did those staves, you know, the nerdy person, there's no way that wood held up that long, all right? Surely they replaced them. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell us if they did or didn't. All right? And if they broke, guess what they probably had to do? Make new ones, okay? And so I'm not saying they weren't replaced, but I'm going to guess that with this much detail, the guy doing this made sure he did a quality job, all right? And I hope he did. And you're going to find out later there was a man who mentioned he did do a quality job. And so this is God's temple. This is God's place. By the way, he overlaid it with gold, so that's going to help. It's like a natural rainproofing, all right? We got a lot of things going in to these what would be simple sticks, now because of their place of service, are no longer simple. All right? Let's keep reading and we'll look at some more. Look at verse, where did we go? Oh boy, I just messed it up there. Keep going forward. Verse 27, right there. More staves. Over against the border shall the rings be for places for the staves that bear the table. So there's staves in the ark and there's staves in the table. And guess what? Those are important. Flip over, keep going in on an exit. I just want to point out some words to you. And these are words I highlighted a long time ago that jumped out at me as odd. I didn't know what all of them, you know, meant. Look at verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Well, I know what that is. Of beaten work shalt the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops. Well, what's a knop? All right. I don't know what a knop is. All right. And by the way, if you were Moses, you probably went, God, what's a knop? And somehow God gave, by the way, if you read through it, it is funny. God says to Moses, he gives him the instructions, then he says, I want you to build it like I showed you up there on the mount, like I showed you. All right, now that's interesting because what it tells me too is essentially, you know, God kind of imprinted this on Moses' mind and visual. They were going to be able to make this like he wanted. It's an unusual thing. No, never in the history of, you know, Brother Gordon doesn't go build a house and the person, you know, the person just says, well, I just want you to build it like I want it. And, you know, and he's going to go, well, show me how you want it and draw it out and show me. And so somebody's got to have not only the vision, but put the vision where it goes, okay, and lay it out to folks. By the way, I think we know who the vision giver is in our church. That'd be our pastor. Hey, listen, if the guy making this said, well, I don't think it should be done that way, he's already made a big mistake, because God gave to Moses how Moses was supposed to tell the children of Israel how to do it. And if they decided to take it into their own hands, well, I'd rather have it this way. Well, then they've just changed what God told them to do. And so the guy who was drawing these candlesticks, he drew little knops on there. You say, what's a knop? A knop is like a little bud shape or ornament. You ever seen those candlesticks, the Jewish menorah thing? And it has those little bulbs or whatever there, and some of them are different spots. But the original one would have had some kind of little bulb-looking thing or little ornament. It's just decoration, but it's in there. It's called a knop. All right, let's keep going down and look for some more. Look at verse 38. We talk a lot. He mentions knops like 8 times in this section. All right, that's a lot. You say, Brother Young, was there really 6 or 7 verses dedicated just to a candlestick and all the knops and everything else? That's pretty specific. Look at verse 38. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Even the snuff dishes are gold in God's house. Amen. And look, I like verse 40. Actually, we'll read 38, 39, and 40. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels, everything that he put in there. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. There it is, right? And God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Make sure that you make it after the pattern that I told you and the way that I showed you to do it. And he reminds him of that. By the way, that means everything in his house had a what? Purpose. It had a purpose, a specific reason that it was supposed to be there. And so then I go on and I found this word. And if you keep going, let's look really quick. I'm trying to find the other one. I marked it over here and not here. All right. Look at there in verse 19. They talk about the boards and the sockets. Okay. And so you say, what are we doing, Brother Young? Well, we're building the tabernacle. So we got staves in the altar. We got little decorations on the candlestick. And now we're going to get into some stuff that's important. Like if you leave this out, we're going to have a bad building. All right. Verse number 19 in chapter number 26. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board and for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under the other board for his 2 tenons. If you know woodworking, you got the mortise and tenon joint, and you've got boards here, and you've got sockets here. This stuff is supposed to fit together like a puzzle. And if you leave something out, this thing's going to fall apart and not work like it should. And so then we have all of that. And then look at verse, keep going on. We'll go to the last section here. Oh, where'd it go? All right. I'm looking for my tatches. Where's that at? Oh, man. All right. Tatches. All right. Anyway, but, oh, I know it's in there. I got to do it. Brother, 33. There you go. All right. Verse 33. Flip the page. Roger. All right. For 32, there's pillars. 33, and thou shalt hang up the veil and the tatches that thou mayest bring them thither. You say, Brother Young, what does it matter if you say that word tatches? One, I don't know if it's tatches or tachis or talkies. I don't know what it is, but I can ask the Lord someday in eternity. You say, what is a tatch or a tach? Well, kind of like the word attach, right? Okay. This is an important piece. These are the little hooks and the eye hooks and stuff that connect everything together. All the walls of this tent have to be taken down and put back up many times. So what are they going to do? Hook it together like this. Hook it together. By the way, if one of them's unhooked, the next one's likely to come unhooked. And the next one's likely to come unhooked. Are you seeing where this is going? Okay, I hope so. All right. You say, well, what's the point of all this, Brother Young? Well, let's flip over real quick and we're gonna go to 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings. You say, Brother Young, this is just the temple. The tabernacle. Well, if you want to read 1 Kings, I just want you to be there so you can have it ready. But in 1 Kings, they're done with the tabernacle. By the time we get here, Israel is established. They've been through the promised land. And they're getting ready not to build a tabernacle anymore, but they're getting ready to build a what? The temple, where God's going to be. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter Did I tell you what chapter? 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. Now we got Solomon. I mean, Moses is already come and gone. David has come and gone. We're all the way to King Solomon now. Okay? In the 480th year after the children of Israel will come out of the land of Egypt. He made sure to mention that, by the way. Okay? Because he said, hey, there was a temple over here. 480 years later, now we got a tabernacle. All right? Now we've got something to work with. Something a little bit bigger. Okay? Something, okay, ready? A little bit better for the Lord's glory. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so here he says there's a temple that we got to build. And of course, Solomon builds it. If you look at verse 7, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. I'm not going to read all of it, but that's amazing. Basically, the whole building of Solomon's temple. You thought there was detail over here in the tabernacle? Read the Solomon's temple stuff. Okay? There's tons of detail in that thing. They've got tiny pomegranates and fruits on the walls, and they made those stones ahead of time so that when they came to drop them in, they just dropped in. You say, how'd they do that, Brother Young? Hard work. A lot of hard work. By the way, they knew who it was for. They knew it was for the Lord. This wasn't just an average building. This wasn't just a tiny thing. And you say, well, what is this whole thing for? Well, the message tonight is called this, Staves, Stones, and Supports, and how you and I are just like all of these pieces. We really are, all right? Now, I couldn't label Brother Josh. He's probably a stone, all right? All right, solid, okay? And you know what? I might just be a little hook on the wall. But the truth is, we're not here to call everybody something different. That's not your job. Our job is to glorify the Lord. And the truth is, in this building, this building was built and designed for a purpose, and then it worked together because everything worked together and the principles we can use today. But God wants to use everybody in a certain way, and sometimes he moves you around even. All right? And well, he might say, well, I'm glad you're here, but I want you to grow to get here. And he'll move you up, and not on a ladder of success. That's not how we measure the Christian life. All right? We measure that by what can I do for him and where does he want me to be. A ladder of service. That, think about that. That's a good thing to remember. Young people, listen. Your Christian life, you should not graduate from high school at Blessed Hope Baptist School and go, I want to have a ladder of success. No. What's my ladder of service look like? What's my ladder of service? I know that success comes with service. I understand there's rewards for it. But if I have a ladder of success mentality in a servant's world, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in trouble in this idea of working together as a team for the body of Christ. Because the truth is, ready, without the staves, the ark doesn't go anywhere. Without the stones, the foundation isn't there. Without the supports, standing up and holding this building up and holding the tabernacle up, what happens? It collapses. So also the bodies of Christ, the body of Christ, this church is just like that. It's just like that. The whole church as a whole. See, God looks down. He sees Blessed Hope. And guess what we are? One piece of a lot of other churches out there. Right? But by the way, in this one piece, we're also another body. A little body. A called out assembly. And the truth is, folks, I was joking about everybody being sick. But truth be told, right? All right, I haven't heard that one. That's a riser thing. Is that a riser thing? Truth be told. That sounds like Brother Riser. I need my shaking beard. All right? All right. Truth be told. Okay? If all of you didn't show up tonight, we wouldn't have a church to... I mean, I guess I could preach to, you know, Ethan probably be here. Good job, Ethan. All right. He'd be here. Would you be here? All right. He says, yeah. No matter what, he'd run here from his dad's house, all right? And to get away from his sisters. Right. You know, the truth is, if you weren't here tonight, this wouldn't be much of a body, would it? Not a much of a body of believers. By the way, if we weren't here tonight, those people wouldn't have got saved last week and the week before. All right? There would be no motivation to come to a church with a few people. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to come to Food Truck Sunday and have six trucks there, but only 20 people come to this church. Do you know what I mean? If I went to an event somewhere and then I found out, well, the church only has got 20 people. You know, first of all, I'd be impressed that they pulled off that big of a Sunday. All right? But second of all, it'd kind of be sad. It would show me that people are coming in and using it and leaving. Coming in and using it and leaving. And nobody's remaining, how it said, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, Brother Young, what's the point then of all this? Well, I'm just going to take these things. We're going to ask three questions and be done.
Okay.
Number one, I want you to show you something about these pieces. Ready? Number one, all these supports started out differently. They all started out differently. Think about it, okay? The staves weren't staves to begin with. They were what? Wood. A tree somewhere. You heard that story of the three trees? You've heard that before? I mean, all of those trees were turned into something else. And they all had different ambitions, but you know what? The one that Jesus died on, that's a good illustration right there. The truth is, you don't know what your life purpose is when you're this young. You're looking around going, well, what do I do? What do I do? God will give you something to do. There's plenty of stuff to do around here. And as you do that, you know what it's doing? It's shaping you a certain way. It's shaping you a certain way. All of these things had to be fashioned for the purpose that God wanted to him. That's what it said in verse number 40 there. The stones were once rocky and rough and not very useful, but they cut them and they built them and they made them for the temple. Hey, the supports used to be just, you know, trees, or they used to be metal, and these guys crafted them and fastened them and cut joints out of them and put them together. And that's the same way we are in here, right? Think about this, ready? I thought about this. If I'm the same now as I was 10 years ago at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then I've not grown like I should have. Hey, listen, if you're still sitting in the same spot, listening to sermons the same way, your heart is the same condition, okay? Now, at least you didn't backslide, right? That's what most Christians say. Well, at least I didn't run off. And that is, by the way, that is to be commended. It does say unmovable. But some people are unmovable in stubbornness, not necessarily faithfulness, all right? I shall not be moved, all right? And you can see it on their faces. And pastor talks about that. You know, that's why they told the preacher, don't be afraid of their faces. Those people they're not moving very much, all right? Well, hey, listen, if that's your life, if you're the same now as you were 10 years ago, spiritually speaking, then we're in trouble. It means that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not growing, or it is growing, it's probably not growing because of you. And that's what you kind of need to come away from this kind of message thinking about. And you might say, well, Brother Young, I can just be, you know, in that wall, there's a 2x4 somewhere or a 2x6 or something, and it just stays there. Well, we're part of the body of Christ. We don't have to just stay there, all right? We can stay in our spot, but we can also serve the Lord. And if you look at your life and go, I'm the same as I was 10 years ago, I got a problem, and you've got a problem. And we have a problem. And by the way, that doesn't work. Just work. Don't wait till 10 years. I mean, just look at yourself a year ago. And I have to ask this. You know, this is where it comes down to the real. All right? And this is where God touches your heart and touches my heart. And I go, man, I'm actually not as good of an example for my kids as I was just a year ago. Isn't that bad? That's not a place we want to be. Hey, listen, not just my children. That's a family thing. But, you know, okay, in my ministry, am I a better example now than I was just a year ago, right? Am I doing better now than I was, you know? And I understand we all go through hard times, right? And so sometimes you just go, if you meet somebody, they'll say, well, I'm just kind of in a bad place right now, Brother Young. And I understand that. I do understand that. And I think God understands that. But remember that story, I think, who's it just preached about the boat, staying in the boat with Jesus, okay? I think Brother Matt even gave his testimony. That was a blessing to me on Sunday night. But the truth is, folks, hey, listen, God works on all of us for his purpose, but we shouldn't remain the same as we always were. Hey, let me ask you this. Ready? Are you saved? Well, hopefully. Some of you just recently got saved, okay? Have you been baptized? If all those new converts in here, we could preach the same message to them. You know what? Hey, get saved, get baptized, walk with the Lord. But then, you know what? Don't stop there, all right? Don't stop there. Think about all the things that are shaping you like you need to, and then let me ask you this. Are we skipping out on them? Hey, Sunday school helps shape us. Christian school helps shape you. Teen training hour, teenagers, that helps shape you. Teen soul winning helps shape you. Operation Occupation helps mold you. All of those things are there to help you be what? Better for the Lord in his body of Christ, in his church. And the truth is, if you're skipping out on those things, what are you doing? You're suffocating yourself is what you're doing. All right, in my body, if I tie this finger off, you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to die because I've suffocated it and I've isolated it and I've chopped it. You know, it's not gone, but I mean, I've stopped it and it's not participating in anything it should be participating. You know what's going to happen? It's going to blacken and get sickly. And if I don't undo that and fix it real quick, this finger's going to go away. And that happens in the body of Christ. Ready? Number two, all of them had one main purpose. What's the purpose? To support the building, to support the building. All right, to support. And by the way, you say, "Well, I'm not the 2x4, and I'm not the preacher, and I don't teach junior church, and I don't do any of that." Well, listen. Your spot in that pew is important, first of all. Okay? But also, there's more than that. Okay? There's more than that. What about those little, I wrote them down, the little knops? Okay? Do you know, here's what I would think each of those means, by the way. The tent touches, there had to be a lot of them, didn't there? Okay? You might say, "Well, my job's not important." You being in your spot helps grab onto somebody else, and they get to be in their spot. Because you're here, they're here. Okay? And we need everybody to do that. Because the truth is, I don't know this. And you might think, "Well, you know, if Pastor Ross left..." Hey, think about that. Okay? All right, well, someday he has a plan and he wants to hand this off. And that's good. That's part of God's will. And that's part of the body of Christ growing. All right? But if he was gone tomorrow, how many people would leave? Right? By the way, I thought of that when the cancer came, Brother Jeff. I thought, "Man alive, what's going on?" You know, what if he died within a week of that cancer? Okay? My wife's mom found out she had cancer, died within, I think, 7-8 months. Right? You know, you don't know. You have no idea. All right? By the way, I look across the crowd and I'm like, I don't know who in here won't be here next year, but one of you won't. I hope. I mean, the odds are high. I kind of hope, looking at this crowd, that all of you will still be here. All right? I don't want anybody to leave. Why would I want that? Okay? At least not leaving for the wrong reasons. But the truth is, looking around the room here, the odds are still, what is it, pretty high that things will shift and things will change. And I hope not, Brother Jeff, but I probably have said that. If I had sat here every Wednesday and thought of it, took a picture every year on the same Wednesday for 10 years, there's always one person missing. Whether by passing on to heaven, we'll talk about that. That's not a bad way to go. All right? But the truth is, hey, listen, they had a main purpose, and it was to support. With no tachis, the tent falls apart. With no staves, there's no mobility. They can't take them up and take them down and do it. With no support, there's no stability. Hey, with no little knops and ornaments, I wrote this down. You ready? There's no testimony. There's no testimony. Okay? Who wants to come into a boring-looking church? All right? Nobody. All right? You know what you are if you're here? A testimony. And people walk in and you know what? You say, "Well, I don't feel like I do anything." Well, then smile. All right? And greet people. Because guess what that is? A testimony. And you know what? You can grow. Thank the Lord we're not like pre-made and stuck in a tabernacle, okay? We're part of the body of Christ. If you got a new person, you know, these folks who walk in this Sunday, some of them aren't here tonight. And it's not because they don't love the Lord. Some of them don't know any better. They just got saved. And so, you know what? A couple of them are going to find out, you know, I want to see what this whole Wednesday night church thing's about. I want to see what this whole Sunday night church thing's about. You know what you're doing? You're helping them grow into an ornament that can be displayed. And thankfully, people walk in and go, "These people like to be here." All right? And you know what? Let me ask you this. You ready? If somebody just said this too. If everybody's coming to church, or somebody's coming to church, depending on your face this Sunday, you know, would they come back? All right, would they come back? You know, because the truth is, I've had bad days and you've had bad days, and there's days that my face, I got to smack it and say, "Smile." All right, you know? But that's not hard to do as a Christian, by the way. It can be hard to do as a human, but as a Christian, we've got plenty to be joyful about. And we really should be able to say, "Get it together, Roger. Smile and thank the Lord for what he's given you." And you can be a testimony unlike anything else that the world sees. All they see is people who hate what they're doing out there. And they shouldn't see that here. You ready? Number one, they start out differently. Number two, they had a main support, which was to support the church. Ready? Think about that. Just ask yourself tonight, okay, how do I help this church? How can I help the church? How can I help more? Do I go out soul winning? Do I help in this? If the answer is no, what can I do more? Okay? By the way, on the food truck, I know we keep going back to that. That was a really good test of how well a church works together. It was a big day like that. Those souls that were saved. You may not have been the one at the altar, but you are just as much a part as the total number that came to Christ as most other people. Now, I understand nothing can replace the person that works there with that person. That's a special thing God gives Christian to Christian, and that's amazing. But you know what? Nobody would be able to do that if we didn't have people serving in other places. So thank the Lord for your opportunity. Ready? Let me just go here and we'll be done. All of the pieces of the tabernacle eventually had to be replaced. Well, you say, well, no, they didn't. I thought you said they stayed there. Yeah, but the ark didn't last there forever. Eventually, they went from a tabernacle to a what? Temple. And they went from the temple to another temple, by the way. That's the story. And by the way, after that, we get Jesus. Amen. And in fact, none of them are here today. No, you can't find any of these, okay? Solomon's temple, destroyed. Tabernacle, gone, all right? The new temple that they built 480 years later, if you remember the story, all the people cried that saw the first one, you know, 480 years later. But later they built the other one, and they cried because they remembered the first one, all right? And it was a sorrowful but happy and sad day, right? But the truth is, folks, hey, listen, we're all going to be replaced, okay? None of us in this room are irreplaceable, all right? First of all, that's a bad attitude to have. But second of all, even just from time and service, all right, the key would be this. You ready? I'd rather be replaced because of service than be replaced because of disservice or misservice. All right? I don't want to fail my spot. I want to wear my spot out. All right? I don't want to just break down on the Lord. I want to wear out through proper use. Okay? And you might say, "Hey, Brother Young, I'm kind of there. I've served the Lord a long time. Some of our senior saints, I've served the Lord a long time." And you know what? We just sang that. Little is much. You remember that verse? It says, when you're laid aside from service, body broke from work and care and all the things that come in your life, you can still be in the battle through the faithful spot of prayer. All right? I didn't get the words right, but that's it. All right? We can still pray and say, Lord, please help this place. Help these folks. Be with them. Lord, be with us. Hey, I'd rather do that. You know, there's a thing, and I know we keep saying Charlie Kirk. Right, it's crazy, but I saw they were trying to sell me a bracelet the other day or something dumb, which I never have bought one of those in my life. All right, if you bought one, don't feel bad. All right, I'm about ready to make fun of you, but that's okay. All right, you know what it said though? It said, "We are Charlie Kirk." And as a Christian, I thought, "No, we're not. No, we're not. No, you're not. First of all, you can't be anyway." It's kind of a dumb statement. All right, but by the way, and I went down and I looked at what people had to say about it, and some of them are like, and by the way, this is sad. Some of them said, "Oh, I got one. This is great and good for them." The other group said, "Think about it. I can't buy one because I'll lose my job." That's sad. Seriously, that's what they were saying in the little comment section. Thousands of people talking about this. Over here, "Oh, that's good. I want one." Over here, "I can't buy one. I'll lose my job." All right, that's a sad place in our country. But there was one person that pointed out what I was hoping somebody would point out as a Christian, that said, "We're not this person. We're part of, if we're saved, he wouldn't want that. We're Christ's. We're saved." And the guy said, "Well, we shouldn't say we are Charlie Kirk. We should say we are Christ." And then I thought, well, you know, I'm not Christ either, but I am supposed to be like Christ. And so I'm glad to say, I don't know if I can say I am Charlie Kirk, and I don't know if I can say I am Christ, because that would be wrong. I'm not Christ. But listen, I can say I'm part of the body of Christ, and you're part of the body of Christ. If you're saved, that's what our slogan should be, that we are part of his church. I'm a Christian, and I'm proud of it. I'm thankful to be a Christian. I am functioning as a Christian. I'm glad to be a representative for Christ. And by the way, if you say, "Well, I'm a Christian," and the person looking at you says, "Huh? Really?" Then you don't fit into the body of Christ. All right? You might be saved, but something's off about you if your coworkers think that. All right? If the person who meets you at the church goes, or at the Casey's goes, "You're a Christian?" Then you need to look at yourself and go, "Well, what's throwing them off? All right? What am I not doing to not look like I'm part of the body of Christ?" Hey, listen, I'm glad we can do that. I'd rather be replaced for serving the Lord and just be faithful. Hey, let's go back to that. I guess let's finish with this. You ready? God doesn't use, and this is where the conviction would come to me and come to you. We do have to check ourselves to make sure we're in our spot, okay? Because you know what? God doesn't use rotten wood for the staves. He doesn't use hollow stones for the foundation. He doesn't use worn out fabric for the curtains, okay? And so you say, "Well, Brother Young, it's just a little bit of sin, or it's just a little bit of this, just a little bit of that." You got to get it right, because if you don't get it right, you're not going to help the body of Christ. Will hurt the body of Christ. And every time I find out that somebody, you know, be careful to not criticize people who've served the Lord, and then there's a failing or a falling or a problem. Because the truth is, yes, I know that that can happen, but we got to be very careful. I don't ever look at that and say, "That guy's a jerk. He deserves it." I go, "Whoa, I got to look at myself. Make sure. Am I okay? Am I still serving the Lord like I'm supposed to?" because I don't want to, I want to take heed lest I what? Fall. And I don't want to be a hurt to the body of Christ. Hey, God can fix anything if you're faithful and you're in your spot and you're thankful to the Lord and you're where you're supposed to be and you've taken these kind of things to heart tonight. He can use you. Let's take this verse and think about it. Ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, that's saved people, right? What are we supposed to be tomorrow? What are we supposed to be Sunday? Ready? Steadfast. In my place on Sunday. Not missing. Unless the Lord totally moves me somewhere else and like puts me down. But you know what? Let's make it take a lot to put us down, all right? Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding. I think sometimes people are steadfast and unmovable and they're not abounding very much because they're missing some stuff, okay? Abounding in what? The work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. You know what? If you're in church on Sunday, thank you for being steadfast. If you're faithful to church every Sunday, thank you for being unmovable. If you're bringing people with you, thank you for abounding. Right? Thank you for abounding. If you're working for the Lord, thank you for that. But I think it's all of those. Some people are only stuck in the steadfast and they're not doing the other. Right? For as much as you know why, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything I do here, Brother Chuck and I were just passing, and he said something about a mortgage payment or something, and we were talking about earthly and spiritual stuff really quick there. And I said, that's what we're doing right now. When we serve the Lord, we are making a mortgage payment in heaven, because someday I have a mansion waiting for me, and anything I do here on earth for him is like a down payment on the house that's waiting up there. Some people are making tiny mortgage payments on earth. Some people are making big ones. Let's make some big ones this Sunday and serve the Lord. Let's just be faithful. It'll help our pastor. It'll help our church. It'll help the body of Christ. Lord, thank you so much for the simple things in your word. There's a lot of them. There's so many descriptions about articles of that you crafted in your temple. And Lord, that's gone now. And Lord, the temples of Solomon and the special things you created and put in your word are a blessing to our hearts, and they're neat to study. But Lord, we need every person in this room. Lord, we need every person who's saved to be in their place on Sunday. Lord, there's a few that our heart breaks because over the years it seems like they have stepped away and we miss them. And Lord, honestly, if they came back today, we'd find a way to graft them back in and get them back in the body of Christ. Thank you for the new folks who've been trusting you. And I pray that we would help them as they grow as part of the body of Christ. Thank you that someday soon you'll be back. And I pray, Lord, that it would even be tomorrow. I pray we'd never even see Sunday, that you would come back and take us with you. But Lord, while we're here, help us to treat it like this could be the last week. This could be the last Sunday we have. And I pray that we'd have that level of fervency and that level of abounding in service for you this Sunday as we preach and as we teach. Lord, even if we're not doing any of those things, as we simply pass a bulletin out, hold a door, smile at someone, greet someone, or just simply pray in our chairs the night before and on our knees the night before for the service the next day. Help us to be faithful, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.